love is a lie. And so we begin foolishly laying our hearts on the table, stumbling in. Our love is a flame burning within.
Now and then, celebrating a birthday today and taking part in this duet. Susie Quattro, turning 70 years old today. Number four in 1979 with Chris Norman sharing the vocals on Stumbling In. The first female bass player to become a major rock star. She turned 70 years old today. Happy birthday to Susie Quattro. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve here on the Steve Gruber Show on this Wednesday morning. Thanks for joining us. We are talking on the phone lines now with David Daly, former editor-in-chief at Salon, senior fellow at Fair Vote. His most recent book is Unrigged, How Americans Are Battling Back to Save Democracy. David, thanks for joining us here on the Steve Gruber Show.
Pleasure to be here, Steve. Scott. I can't believe that I get to talk to the man behind Political Beats. I love Political Beats.
Really?
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate the kind words. Now, if you were a guest, what band would you talk about?
You know, my favorite band is probably R.E.M. And you guys did R.E.M.
a long time ago. Yes.
You know, but I don't think you've ever done The Wedding Present. I don't think you've ever done The Go-Betweens or maybe Aztec Camera, some of these kind of 80s, 90s things.
Oh.
I love that you just did Crowded House.
Yeah. All good.
We're both fans of the old 97, so, you know. Got a lot of stuff we could talk about.
All good suggestions. So, yes, listeners, you might hear David Daly perhaps at a future episode of Political Beats. David, talk to us a bit. You had a piece recently in the New York Times, too. I'm sure you know here in Michigan, we approved a nonpartisan redistricting reform measure via initiative just a year or two ago. What should we expect as that rolls out? What are we seeing take place in other states?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a great question. We are, of course, in an election year that's a census year, which means it's a redistricting year. And so the legislatures that are elected in 2020 are, in most states around the country, going to have the responsibility of drawing all of the legislative and congressional lines for the next decade. So that the White House will be held by the winter in November until 2024, but these maps are going to be in place until 2031. It is a really big deal. Michigan and four other states in 2018 joined California and a handful of other reform states and kind of turning this over to an independent commission, trying to take the politics out of it. These commissions have had reasonably good success, and I think that the Michigan commission is really intelligently designed. It wants Democrats, Republicans, and independents on the commission. They have to kind of tour the state. They have to listen to people. They've got to understand communities of interest. They're handed a difficult puzzle. You know, how do you draw a map that's fair to everybody? And then they have to sort of solve it together. You have to have a supermajority of Democrats, Republicans, and independents, so two sides can't team up on each other. In some ways, it's a good metaphor for kind of how we want our politics to work. You know, give people a problem, have them gather information and come back and try to solve it. So, no, I like that a lot. I worry that in other states, this may become even more political than it has been in the past. The Democratic side, you certainly have Eric Holder and his group that are trying to kind of undo the Republican gains of 2010. They've got their National Democratic Redistricting Commission. They're trying to flip legislative chambers that they've just endorsed, a number of candidates down ballot. And, it's clearly a bigger priority for the Democrats than it has been in the past. And on the Republican side, they're really looking to kind of hold on to the gains that they won in 2010 and then kind of locked in through the redistricting majority project the following year in many states. And I think that there's a new plan in Missouri that I think really shows kind of a lot of what the Republican strategy might be. It's a little more technical and subtle than their plan back in 2010, trying to win the legislative chambers, which was so effective.
David, I want to ask this because I'm interested in reform, but I'm skeptical about how you take the politics out of what is inherently a political thing, that this drawing of maps, how can you make that possible?
I don't think you can take the politics out of it, but I think you can take some of the partisanship out of it. And the main way you take the partisanship out of it is when you don't allow one side the power to sort of unilaterally draw the maps for the next decade. The maps that were drawn in 2010 that are the most one-sided, the Democratic maps in Maryland and Illinois, the Republican maps in Michigan, North Carolina, Wisconsin, Ohio, they have something in common. One side was able to lock the others out of the room and impose their will for an entire decade. And, you know, I don't think that's fair. Not out of some sort of, you know, playground cry of that's not fair, but because every election ought to matter. And the election in a zero year, in a census year, in a redistricting year, shouldn't matter more than every other election. You know, if Republicans have a good year in 2010, they ought to be able to enjoy a majority for the next 2 years. And if Democrats come back and have a good year, well, then, you know, things go their way. And what these maps do is that they lock in partisan control for a decade or more. You haven't seen chambers flip in any of those states I just talked about, the Democratic states or the Republican states, even when a majority of voters say that they want change. And I think that you know, that's fundamentally dangerous in a representative democracy.
David Daley, the recent book, Unrigged, How Americans Are Battling Back to Save Democracy. You can find his piece at the New York Times this week and follow him on Twitter as well, at DaveDaley3. David, thanks so much for the kind words about Political Beats and also for joining us this morning on the Steve Gruber Show. I appreciate it.
A real pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. There's David Daley. Coming up after the bottom of the hour, Chris Ruddy from Newsmax will preview the interview between President Trump and Sean Spicer on Spicer & Company. That's in just a bit here on the Steve Gruber Show.